Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the Sound. It's Director of Public Affairs, John Vokat. Thanks for tuning into our award-winning public affairs program, For the People, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. Well, this morning we're going to hear about a Lower Fairfield County nonprofit called Ableis that has been serving the disabled and developmentally challenged in our region for nearly 70 years. We'll learn about their expansion plans, several key programs they offer, and a number of activities to help support their work, including an upcoming talent show and the second annual Dancing Stars of Greenwich competition. Then we'll pop outside for a visit to New Haven's Edgerton Park to meet the co-president and organizer of the Connecticut Folk Fest and Green Expo, coming to the park on September 7th with tons of great music, including headliners Donna the Buffalo, and loads of vendors and education stations offering tips, advice, and information about how you can make your home community in our state more environmentally sustainable. And we'll close with a victim services specialist from Mothers Against Drunk Driving to remind you about the important work MAD does year-round to help educate and advocate against impaired driving. And we'll remind you about their upcoming Walk Like MAD events happening soon in Fairfield and Brantford. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vokat, right after this reminder. So you like pie, huh? Well, we want you to plan to head over to Leo's Restaurant in Southbury on Sunday, August 25th at 4 p.m. for their fifth annual pie-eating contest in honor of a local six-year-old, Alex Owens, who suffers from inoperable tumors due to a rare genetic disease called neurofibromatosis, or NF. If you're not up for stuffing yourself with pie, it's almost as much fun to watch and enjoy other family-friendly activities like face painting and hair chalking. There'll be many raffle prizes available for you and pie-eating prizes awarded for the finishers in the children's, men's, and women's classes. Pre-registration is recommended, and there'll be a limited number of spots at the table for walk-ins. All proceeds are donated to the Children's Tumor Foundation. To learn more, just visit Leo's in Southbury before the event or click on ctf.org. Well, we're pleased to wrap up the program meeting a brand new friend. Amy Montemuro is on the phone. She is the president and CEO of Ableis, a 501c3 nonprofit that is expanding throughout Fairfield County. And we're glad to hear it because they provide services and supports for over 700 individuals with special needs and their families through birth through life. And as we hear from so many guests on this program, it's such a critical issue that these individuals, so many of them, unfortunately face the challenge of kind of falling off the map a little bit when they stop receiving school-based services when they turn 18 through 21. And it's great to hear that organization like Ableis is expanding to serve these people for the rest of their time with us here. So Amy, thank you for joining us and great to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So how long have you been with this organization?
I've been with the organization for 23 years, and I took on the role of CEO. It'll be a year in September.
So tell us about this expansion plan. Is this a kind of a long-term thing, or do you guys have actually fixed targets on the timeline where you hope to be either bringing greater services or a broader service area to Fairfield County?
Well, in 2007, we realized we had opened up our first satellite for young adults transition. And as you mentioned before, we really needed to plan for kids a stronger curriculum for them as they transition out from school at age 21. So we developed a satellite in Greenwich where it was all community-based, helping individuals volunteer in the community, really increase their employment skills so that we can help them to find competitive employment. Mm-hmm. And we started off with 3 and quickly grew to 25. And then we started getting outreach from families all over Lower Fairfield asking us to they wanted us to provide services in their community. So the first one was the Westport Schools contacted us, and we then agreed to try and open up a satellite and see if we can help them in that community because we believe people should be able to live and work and be a part of the community and that they're comfortable with and that they've always lived. And it was very successful. We continued to, then we were, at maximum capacity, and the word was spreading. And so we have since really expanded to Ridgefield, We're working with the New Canaan community right now, Stamford, we're looking for an additional site.
Wow.
And we want to be able to reach as many individuals as we can.
Yeah.
We opened up in Wilton and quickly expanded there too.
Wow. That's great.
Families have the opportunity to choose their provider, and not everybody loves that we're going where there's other providers, but we think it's important that families and individuals have choice.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing is, we kind of talked about school age up through adulthood and into end of life, but you folks have a birth to three initiative as well, so you really carry the ball all the way.
All the way, yeah, early intervention. ABLIS is actually one of the six providers in the state of Connecticut who provides the diagnosis of autism and the care and supports for individuals. So families can start with us, and they can keep their therapist through the years. ABLIS continues to support them through their school. We're always by their side. And through, offering activities as they become young adults so that the transition to the adult world is smooth and seamless.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to spend a couple minutes each before we talk about some upcoming events, just hitting on three of your keynote programs, the LEAP program, Project Search, and Ticket to Work. So I guess as you were talking about getting people transitioned once they sort of leave the wrapping kind of nature of school-based special education support, this LEAP program really makes a difference, getting them oriented to being full-fledged community members where they live.
Yes, exactly. Everything's community-based, getting individuals to utilize the resources in the community, volunteering, giving back, and developing skills.
Mm-hmm. And to that end, you've got a great partnership going with Greenwich Hospital. Let's hear about that.
Oh, we're so excited. So that is our Project Search, and we are launching September 3rd. And that will be 9 interns rotating throughout Greenwich Hospital in a 10-month program with, in the various departments, could be the laboratory, could be the thrift store, could be their food service, could be their security, customer service. We wanted to give individuals opportunities to kind of get comfortable, develop their skills so we can help them identify the best employment opportunity once they've completed the rotation. So we want our results to be 100% individuals to be competitively employed when they're finished with Project Search. And Greenwich Hospital has been amazing in welcoming us and giving us classroom space and helping to identify the departments and the managers that are going to mentor individuals with disabilities. It's really fantastic.
Super. Now, as I'm looking at this note on Ticket to Work, I see it's a free voluntary program that can help all individuals who receive Social Security disability income or supplemental security income. Is that all individuals under the care or who are part of ABLIS, or is that anyone?
We launched that program. It was about an 8-month process to become qualified for Ticket to Work. We realized that there was a gap in the system for individuals that we typically would support with an IQ below 70, that there's this gap in our system where people don't have job coaching, skill development. So it's really for the other people that not specifically ableist. We can use it for ableist to help people identify and maintain jobs, but it's really for the greater community that don't qualify, and another avenue for them to get funding and resources so that we can help them with career exploration and skill development and, really develop the opportunities that they need so they can be successful in the workforce.
Great. Well, we've got a raft of upcoming events where people can not only have a great time, but get to know the great work of ABLIS, including one coming up rather quickly, a couple actually. You have an open house and a services and job fair on September 19th, and that's at the Greenwich office on Glenville Road from 5:30 to 7:30. But before that, just a couple days before that, on September 14th, we want to really put some people in the seats for this Dancing Stars of Greenwich. Tell us a little bit about that.
This is our second annual Dancing with Stars. The seats are actually full.
Whoa.
Really fast, but we would love for the community to go online and dancingstarsofgreenwich.net. And they can sponsor a dancer. So we have celebrity judges and volunteers who will be dancing. They're paired up with Fred Astaire professionals, and there's a contest.
So you sort of sponsor the dancers to benefit the organization? Is that how it works?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's great then. Then people don't even have to go to Greenwich. They can just get on their computer
or contact
the agency. Yeah. That's fantastic. Let's maybe put some people in the seats for a talent show you've got coming up a few weeks later on September 27th.
Sure. We have individuals that we're supporting at Ableist. They have now, this is our third year, put on a talent show. And it's just a lot of fun. And it's increased, and a lot of different community members have come to support individuals with disabilities. You can go right on ableist.us/calendar or you can just come in and buy a ticket and celebrate with us for the individuals we're supporting.
Great. And for folks that are typically kind of zone out and just hit the .org when they're hearing about a nonprofit, this is one of those .us URLs. So it's ABILIS.us for more information on the events we've already talked about, as well as all their programs and upcoming activities. And I'll tell you, there's nothing better than, say what you will for sweating it out in June or August, but there's nothing like a walk or a run in the crisp fall weather of late October to really get your blood pumping and inspire you to support a great organization like Ableist. And you've got 15 years down with the successful walk and run event. How can people get in, be part of that?
Oh, it's our largest fundraiser of the year and friendraiser. People can come and sponsor event. They can create a team at their local businesses, at schools, friends and family. And there's so many activities for children. The run has expanded, and we would love to have more runners this year. And it's just a fun day for families to get together and support the organization.
Excellent. So once again, ABILIS.us to find out more about supporting or sponsoring one of the dancing stars of Greenwich for that activity on September 14th. The Ableist Open House Services and Job Fair starting at 5:30 in Greenwich on September 19th. The Ableist has talent show at the First Presbyterian Church of Greenwich on September 27th, and the walk and run. And that's happening where?
That will be at Todd's Point in Greenwich.
Very good. Finally, in the last minute or so that we have with you, Amy, it's not too soon, of course, to be thinking about the holidays, and Ableist Garden and Gifts is one of these great organizations that not only provides some fantastic gifts and holiday items, but also provides a training opportunity for your folks.
Yes. We would love for, at any time, people, our community should come on over. It's a training platform for individuals to really develop, more employment skills. There are really unique items that are made by the people we support, and also other gift items that we purchase to have at the store. It's a great atmosphere.
And where do they go for that?
That is at our 50 Glenville Street, near our headquarters, and you drive in and you can see our Ableist Gardens and Gifts.
Fantastic. Folks, if you're interested, once again, ableist.us, ABILIS.us is their website to go and learn more about this leader in serving the special needs communities in Lower Fairfield County for 68 years with a long standing reputation for quality care and the exciting news of the expansion way beyond Greenwich to Stamford, New Canaan, Ridgefield, Westport, and Wilton. Perhaps another community near you in Fairfield County in the coming weeks, months, or years. We're pleased to meet Amy Montemuro, President and CEO of Ableist here in Connecticut. Amy, thanks for being part of the program this morning and giving us a little education about this great organization. Well, it seems appropriate here on the 50th anniversary weekend of Woodstock that we take a few minutes to celebrate a little more of a boutique kind of festival that's going to be coming up, but definitely in that spirit on Saturday, September 7th from 11 to 10, CT Folk Fest and Green Expo is coming to Edgerton Park here in New Haven, and we're going to be talking about the organization that brings it here as well as the event itself. Pleased to be hanging out in Edgerton Park here this morning to have a little chat with Lisa Kasten. She's co-president of CT Folk, as well as Nicole McCula, who's the festival director. First, we're going to chat a little bit with Lisa. Lisa, first of all, just tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to be so passionate about this organization that you've taken on such a leadership role.
Thanks, John. We're really pleased to be here on this very sunny day, and we just hope that the weather lasts throughout the next, 15-20 days, so we have beautiful weather also. So actually, that's a great segue, the Woodstock thing. I was about 15 years old or so. That's showing my age, of course, at Woodstock, and I was about 10 miles away from the whole epicenter. Someone who was, you know, classified almost as a boyfriend came by the hotel that we were at to take some pillows up to Woodstock. I was a mother's helper that weekend, and so I just missed that. But since then, I've had an abiding love for music.
Yeah, it seems like you got infected with the vibe from a short distance.
Exactly. And since we didn't have a real 50th anniversary for Woodstock this year, we hope people look at CT Folk Festival as the place to be at the Summer of Love 50 years later. And so I moved up here in about 2007, and my husband basically showcased a couple of reasons that New Haven was where it's at. And one of them was CT Folk and the festival. So fast forward a few more years later, and here I am helping to helm this wonderful organization and resting on the shoulders of some very important and good folks that have helped to keep this music alive and to keep our organization alive, like Barbara Schiller and James Van Pelt and others who came before her.
Yeah. What's your background? Are you a musician, organizer, administrator? What kind of elevated you to the leadership role, and what talents do you bring to CT Folk?
Definitely not a musician in the sense of knowing how to play music. I've tried in times, but I'm basically relegated to the listening crowd. Mm-hmm. And as that, I'm an amazing and a really appreciator of all these wonderful people that we bring to showcase to CT Connecticut and to the rest of the Northeast and beyond. My background is a administrator and a development person, director, basically with nonprofits, a little bit with government agencies. And most of those are not within music. They were mostly with education and mental health areas. But like many of us, we just have this abiding interest in addition to the jobs that keep us going and allow us to do the volunteer work that we do.
Hmm. Well, for folks that are listening, let's talk about CT Folk to the extent you can, expound on its history and traditions. It sounds like it was in existence when you came to the organization.
That is exactly right, and I had the good fortune of meeting Barbara Schiller, who always looks to connect dots and put people where she thinks they should be. And we were actually in between and looking for festival directors, and that was part of my role, too, to maybe help to find festival director. So she asked me if I would be willing to serve on the board. I had known CT Folk for a while at that point and was a humble board member. And then over the next few years, along with some other folks, we took over leadership because some of the other folks were looking to finally phase out. Mm. And actually, Barbara is now on the board of NRFA, which is the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance. Okay. And that's an organization that really helps us to find some of our talent, emerging artists as well as those that are more established. And so through that organization, it helps keep us alive, and Barbara continues to support us in her role there and in other capacities.
But it's you are not solely focused on just holding folk concerts.
That's right. I think the main focus of CT Folk is indeed music, as you will see by looking at our website, ctfolk.org. But in addition to the music that we put on at our Folk Friday concerts, which we can talk a little bit more about, and the festival and Green Expo, which Nicole will address more fully, we do also feel that we also believe that we have a role in the community, and we also like to do outreach and bring new people into not only folk music, but just have them share some of their different types of music as well. And towards that end, we've done a few community events. Last year in April 2018, we did a community acoustic garden party partnering with New Haven Land Trust and New Haven Farms, and brought in the likes of an amazing talent of people like Tabisa, an artist from South Africa, now calling this her home, calling New Haven her home. Isabella Mendez, who is a very notable bossa nova singer and keyboardist, and her band, her guitarist, as well as Kate Callahan, who served as CT Connecticut's troubadour at the time. Right. Connecticut has a state troubadour, and she was it. And as a result, she was also serving on our board, and so she provided contemporary folk music. The nice part about that, it was in the middle of New Haven and beautiful garden. A little windy that day. You can't really account for weather on the end of April, but we brought out a nice cross-section of the community. And then we've done some grant work like we did this year for high school kids using Reggie Harris and Greg Greenway, who performed the night before on May 3rd, to then perform a similar program but catered to high school students on race relations and how they learn to really become great friends, even though one was descended from Confederacy and the other one from slavery, growing up outside of Richmond, Virginia. So we do outreach, and we also look to do sustainable activities, which we're looking to grow a little bit more throughout the year. But what Nicole will tell you is that we have a larger presence this year with a lot of our green activities, that we feel that we have a real call to arms these days because of the seriousness of the problem, and we feel that that is one of our missions, to sort of highlight how important it is for us to become greener.
Super. Well, but before we take a little break and then chat with Nicole Makula about this upcoming Connecticut Folk Fest and Green Expo, once again, folks, if you just tuned in, mark your calendar for Saturday, September 7th, and plan for the day here at Edgerton Park in New Haven from 11 to 10. The annual CT Folk Fest and Green Expo is happening. We're going to hear all about it. A free festival of live music, artisans, food, children's activities, and as we heard from Lisa Kasten, the co-president of CT Folk, New Haven's Green Workshop Central will be going on. Lots to learn about. In the last couple of minutes that we have to visit with you, Lisa, please. The festival sort of, as we chatted before we turned on the mic, it seems like it's kind of the lead into this thicker season of activities that starts in October. Just to tell folks a little bit more about ways they can touch, explore, and enjoy CT Folk if they are unable to or do come to the Folk Fest and Green Expo and want more.
Sure. Thanks so much. So as John is alluding to, we are a all-season program. At least we do have Folk Friday concerts, one concert per month from October through May. Sometimes if the spirit moves us and there's something going on, we add another concert in June. And those concerts are at the First Presbyterian Community Hall in New Haven at 704 Whitney Avenue. Our first kickoff concert for this season is October 4th with Scott Ainsley, followed by Matt Nakoa and Sister Funk on November 1st, and Joe Crookston on December 6th. Then we have a whole lineup throughout the rest of the year. Tickets are a modest $20 or $25 at the door. Student discounts, so we want to get you college students to us. For that, we discount tickets to half price. So come on out. Also, just wanted to give a shout out to our largest sponsor for our festival, Grassy Hill Entertainment. Over the last, I would say, 5 to 6 years, they have been our main sponsor, and we are very grateful for all their support. We appreciate that ongoing trust that they give to us, and we pass that trust on to you.
Super. And we do want to remind you, I think it's ctfolk.org is the website, and you can also follow CT Folk on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Learn all about their activities, how to get involved, how to sponsor, how to support, become a volunteer perhaps, and be part of it. Certainly, I don't think if you live outside the confines of New Haven, you will be barred from CT Folk participation,
no.
Drawing folks from all over the state. Okay. We're going to come back and talk more about that as soon as we get back from the break. We'll meet Nicole Makula, the festival director of this CT Folk Fest and Green Expo this year. Stick with us. Do you love Connecticut? If you do, there are hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations that would love to have your support. You can learn about many of them through Love CT. Just go to our radio station website, hit the event guide tab, and click on to Love CT to help the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. Hey, and I'm Connoisseur Media's Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. We're going to be right back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. You can join the Connecticut Women's Education and Legal Fund, QWELF, for their One Woman Makes a Difference Awards dinner on Tuesday, October 1st from 5 to 9 at Southington's AquaTurf Club. The evening is a celebration of women who make a difference in the lives of women and girls in Connecticut. You'll meet the 2019 Maria Miller Stewart awardees, as well as QWELF's latest Champions of Change. The evening includes a silent auction and wine pull with a cocktail hour, appetizers, and beverages before sitting for their three-course dinner. To learn more, just visit the organization at cweaf.org. We're back. Thanks for coming back and hanging with us here at beautiful Edgerton Park in New Haven. If you were with us for the last segment, we were chatting with Lisa Kasten, co-president of CT Folk. And as we've been telling you about, on Saturday, September 7th from 11 to 10, the CT Folk Fest and Green Expo is presenting their free festival of live music, artisans, food, trucks, children's activities, and green workshops, probably one of the big draws of the festival, besides the music, is a great way to come and learn about all kinds of important green initiatives that you can take home to your household, your community, your neighborhood, your schools. Nicole Makula is the festival director, and Nicole, thanks for meeting us and arranging this interview this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me, John.
So how long have you been involved with CT Folk?
I'm honored to say this is my fourth year as festival director of CT Folk Fest and Green Expo.
And how is the festival, for folks that may have attended before, any different or more expanded this year beyond what we were hearing about with all these green activities?
You know, each year we look to evolve, we look to take in, you know, everyone's thoughts, and myself along with the board, we have expanded the musical genres of the folk festival. We are always looking to, you know, reach outside the folk genre, which of course, though, you know, folk music is storytelling. And so ultimately that is the foundation of all music. And over the last 4 years, our lineup has really seen a diverse lineup and as well a diverse audience. Each year we also grow our Green Expo, you know, so, you know, one of half of our mission, you know, is not only to educate, entertain, and inspire a diverse audience through music, but it's really to create a conversation to continue a socially responsible and environmentally sustainable community. Mm. And this year, what we are most proud of, we brought on Kim Acosta, who is our Green Expo director, and she really had her finger on the pulse with many nonprofits within our area. So we created the CT Grown Workshop Tent, John, and we have 16 partner organizations, which highlight mostly New Haven and surrounding towns. Nonprofit organizations that focus on green initiatives, environmentally sustainable initiatives, or food justice.
Mm, I see a lot of ways to start them young by exposing the kids to a lot of this green activity.
Oh, our Green Kids Village is even a bigger than ever. And in the Green Kids Village, we have workshops all day, including magic shows, cooking demos, hula hooping, interactive drum circles, recycled art projects, live music. It's incredibly interactive. We have really created some beautiful partnerships over the last few years. And it really is, you know, in part because of our board reaching out and creating these relationships and building our reach. But for sure, if you're into live music, our lineup is dynamic and unbelievable. And I'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
And the Green Expo, the workshop tent, as well as our Green Kids Village is really, it's something to boast about and something to come out for.
Excellent. Once again, we want to remind you, for more information about this and all the great work CT Folk is doing, you can go to ctfolk.org. Chatting here at Edgerton Park on a beautiful morning, which we hope will mirror the weather on Saturday, September 7th, when the 27th annual CT Folk Fest and Green Expo comes to the park. So the music certainly is a draw, and I'm certainly no stranger to Donna the Buffalo and Birds of Chicago. I'm not too familiar with many of the other acts, although I do have to give a shout out to a dear, dear friend and exceptional talent who just recently released his latest CD called Backyards of the Brave, Jim Allen. Talk about a voice who really embodies the whole kind of folk thing when you think of crossover to activism and political awareness. And I'm sure that's going to be something that's going to permeate the entire day. But the most exciting thing, I think, is the opportunity for fledgling songwriters that kick off the whole deal.
Totally. So, yeah, so while we are CT Folk Fest, we, you know, as you said, Donna the Buffalo is a national headliner. We range from local to national acts. And for it to be a suggested donation only festival is kind of wild, you know, and we do ask for a $10 suggested donation so we can continue our efforts and so we can continue to work hard to keep this festival at no cost.
It's about a buck a band, folks, so offer it up.
Yeah, give it up. So with that said, Jim Allen Band was it was a no-brainer for the board and for us. He is wildly talented. He speaks of relevant issues that's happening, and we're thrilled to have him. And you know what? And he's equally so gracious to be on our main stage. Goes to Paul Revere. They're Americana folk out of Portland, Maine. They're a little bit more folk rock, and they're great. They will push the night off. They will push the night off really well. Amethyst Kia, she is really making, she's actually doing a trio that evening, and she's from Johnson City, Tennessee.
Wow.
She describes herself actually as a Southern Gothic alt country blues singer. And she's part
good
of
package.
Yeah, I mean, that hits all the points. And she is powerful, raw vocals. And we're thrilled to have her on this main stage as she is ascending very quickly. And then the rest of our lineup, we have Susan Catania, who was our 2018 songwriting winner. We have Quarter Horse, Christine Sweeney, who were this year's audition winners. And the Grassy Hill Songwriting Competition, which, of course, we're thrilled to host each year as homage and, you know, for Grassy Hill Entertainment, our main sponsor.
Great. Well, let's do some boilerplate. Once again, it's a free festival, but there is a $10 suggested donation. Obviously, you've heard over the past 18 minutes, talk about maximum value for every penny of that $10 per person. If you can provide that, it will just go to sustain CT Folk's mission to educate, entertain, and inspire audiences throughout not just the greater New Haven area, but Connecticut and the entire Northeast. As you see, they're drawing talent from all over the country for this event, as well as talent here locally, and an opportunity for all this exposure to these great green vendors and local musicians and the songwriting workshop activities for the kids. I guess it's important to just, in the last minute that we have, Nicole, just remind folks about the parking situation, as you did with me when I drove into Edgerton Park.
I know you were very good with directions. I'm sorry that I'm not as well, and I also missed miss one thing. We have a beer and wine garden, which is, okay. I cannot, that'd be remiss. And that is sponsored by New England Brewing Company. Okay. So we're thrilled to have them, as well as Regional Water Authority. They will be focusing, they will be doing free water all day and refillable water bottles, which is huge.
Fantastic.
Parking. Please find parking around the park and in neighboring areas. We do highly recommend take public transportation and carpool if you can. We tried to be a zero waste and, you know, green expo festival. So do your best to carpool, take public transportation, and if not, park around the areas of Cliff and Edge Hill.
Super.
I'm just going to say something about Nicole. It's not a coincidence, this is Lisa again, that Nicole is coming back for the fourth time, because we've been very pleased with the work that she and staff have done to bring us the best possible concerts and festival, this one, because this case festival, this is going to be out of the park, so to speak. And if you're there and you have questions, look for us friendly volunteers, because we're always there to help and answer your questions.
Super. Now in its 27th year, the CT Folk Fest and Green Expo has organically grown into one of Connecticut's leading folk festivals, as well as presenting the largest green expo in the state. They've earned a reputation by attracting premier talent, as you've heard. We hope you come out to Edgerton Park here for this event all day. Plan for it. Bring your friends, carpool, or take public transportation. We'll see you here on Saturday, September 7th from 11 to 10 at CT Folk Fest. CTFolk.org is the website to find out where everything is. And if you want up to the minute information, they'll be socialing on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I want to thank my guest, Nicole McCullough, Festival Director and co-president of CT Folk, Lisa Kasten, for meeting me here on this gorgeous morning at Edgerton Park. Well, for virtually all of the almost 3 decades I've been doing this show, one of the regular organizations that keeps coming up, and as much as we love their passion and their work, we want to really get going putting you guys out of business. Man, I wish we lived in a world where we didn't need Mothers Against Drunk Driving, but I'm sure glad we're in one right now. And we've got one of the key players in the Connecticut chapter of Mothers Against Drunk Driving in studio with us right now. Jennifer Rossi is the lead victim services specialist, and she's also a coordinator for the Walk Like Mad event that's coming up in Fairfield on September 14th and another one coming up in Brantford on October 5th. We're going to talk about those along with a number of other activities. And, you know, I got to say, a little secret, if you're a country music fan, you're going to want to save a date that's going to be coming up, because they've got a really special event going on at Mohegan Sun, as well as for all you golfers out there, a golf tournament coming up on September 21st. We'll touch on all of those. But first, let's find out a little bit about Jennifer Rossi. Jennifer, thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to this important role that you play with Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Thank you for having me. So yes, I actually went to school for criminal justice, and my father is a police officer as well. And kind of when going through school, I decided I really wanted to help people. You know, obviously my father sees the defendant side, and I really wanted to help the victims. So I went to school and was fortunate enough to land a position with Mothers Against Drunk Driving as a victim advocate. And for the past 13 years that I've been with MAD, certainly enjoy and love working with the families that I have been so gracious to work for and to help through the entire criminal justice process. When, you know, after a traumatic event like a drunk driving crash occurs, all the way through making sure that their voice is heard and their loved ones get justice for the crime.
Well, in your world as a victims services specialist for Mothers Against Drunk Driving for 13 years and mine in the world of journalism, we both kind of get a lot of the same releases and the same data and the same information from the same sources. And it seems like, you know, every year drunk driving arrests and accidents and sadly deaths related to drunk and drugged and distracted driving are kind of up and down and up and down. In the 13 years that you've been there, you know, tell us a little bit about what you've seen in terms of the patterns and the shifts and the trends and where we are today in 2019.
When I first started, we did have quite an increase in the number of fatalities in Connecticut. And has gone down over the years, but is starting to trend a little bit upward. However, you know, we work closely with law enforcement in trying to help them do their job and make sure, you know, our roads are safe for everyone out there. Currently, the last statistic in 2017 from NHTSA was 120 people were killed in Connecticut versus previous years that were less, closer to around 100. So it has increased and certainly then makes us more vigilant in trying to increase awareness about MAD, about the dangers of not only drunk driving, but now drug driving with the different drugs and crises that are going on in the state,
and certainly with the specter of legalized recreational use of marijuana kind of hanging out there, ready to drop at some point in the future if it does, kind of the decriminalization of it and the availability of it on the open market as a recreational purchasable intoxicant in several neighboring states. That's got to certainly amp you guys up in terms of your awareness and your passion.
It certainly does. And, you know, we are trying to work, you know, with DOT, DMV, and the different state's attorneys across the state to get them prepared if it ever did come to a legalization standpoint, and obviously train more officers to be drug recognition experts to be able to handle the increase and be able to catch them easily versus having to go through channels to get someone tested. So we certainly, you know, want all the key players to be informed, better knowledge, better experience, you know, with the testing in case it does happen.
Yeah. And also, glad you mentioned the DREs, the drug recognition experts on the many police departments. This is a rapidly expanding expertise in law enforcement circles. And I guess it bears warning individuals out there who may decide to do something besides drinking and driving, but getting behind the wheel intoxicated on some other type of substance. Chances are, no matter where you're driving in Connecticut, you're going to be going through a jurisdiction, whether state police or municipal city resident troopers, where you have a DRE on call 24 hours a day. So, you know, if you think just not drinking is going to kind of get you off, these guys and women are spectacularly well-trained and talented, cutting edge. They almost kind of verge on forensic scientists in the work that they do.
They do. But unfortunately, though, we only have, I think, approximately 50 to 55 across the state. So we do need more. But obviously, it does take funding to send them to another state to be trained. And it's weeks long of a program. Yeah. But they are fabulous. And we do work very closely with a number of them. And they just pick up and there's a whole gamut of things with our heart rate or pulse and you know, that they can easily identify.
Yeah, and they don't sign on for that shift without knowing that they're potentially on call to help the other 119 municipalities that do not are not privileged to have them working on their departments. So let's talk a little bit about Mothers Against Drunk Driving, because I think a lot of people, when they are suddenly thrust into that horrible situation where they get a knock on the door, they get a call from the emergency room, somebody they love has been injured or, God forbid, lost in a drunk driving crash, that's when MAD really shines, and you really shine, Jennifer, as a victim's services specialist. Let people know what they would expect to experience in those dark and insane hours around those horrible calls.
Confusion. A lot of confusion. It's a sudden traumatic event. And there's many families that don't know where to turn or what to do. Obviously, working with the different departments, working with the courts, you know, we would never thrust ourselves upon some family who didn't want our assistance. We are there to be an emotional support for them, to guide them through the criminal justice process and be a partner along with the court-based advocates and the prosecutors and their attorneys if they so have one. And really, help them understand the laws, the process, because it's confusing. It's cases can sometimes take up to 1.5 to 2 years to finish, and you don't know. Some families put so much time and energy after adjudication, then they don't know. Then they get involved with us volunteering-wise. Mm. But we want to make sure that they have a voice, that their constitutional rights as a victim are upheld, that they're able to meet with a prosecutor to discuss the case, that they're able to give their victim impact statements. Almost like hand-holding, but really just an additional support system for them, whether it's right after a crash, even before a funeral, whether the case has finished and it's 20 years down the road and now they want to come, you know, be a speaker for our programs. Mm-hmm. You know, we are there at any time, even on the weekends, even at night. If someone needs us, they can call and we'll get the message and we can get back to them certainly whenever needed.
Yeah, you also speak to a couple of other important points there. Jennifer Rossi's with us. She's the lead victim services specialist with Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Runners or walkers, if you're out there, mark your calendars because Walk Like Mad is coming to Fairfield on September 14th and to Brantford on October 5th. There'll be a golf tournament coming up September 24th and a fantastic event coming up to bring awareness to Mothers Against Drunk Driving up at Mohegan Sun, involving a as yet secret special guest country star who will be performing up there. So, you spoke to the fact that MAD has, through its long tenure on the nonprofit stage, and their trust and their reliability and the depth of their knowledge and expertise, they have really been kind of adopted as the sister agency to a lot of the law enforcement and judicial process. And that's critically important because at this point, I imagine you're really functioning very seamlessly when it comes to your role with the various agencies and people that are involved in a case.
Yes. And it's, you know, there's obviously many types of crimes. But this is almost a unique one because anyone, it can happen to any time of day, any lifestyle that you are from, any, you know, economic background that you have. You know, a lot of people drink, a lot of people, you know, like to have fun. We certainly don't discourage it, but more, you know, encourage that you need to have a plan before you go out. If not, there are consequences. And, you know, we are there to help, you know, whether someone is injured or someone just has even a property damage. They weren't in their car, but their car was damaged or their house was damaged, you know, and kind of work together to make sure that no matter how victimized they were, that their voice makes a difference in the system and that the general public sitting in the courtrooms understands that this can have rippling effects. And it's not just a simple, I got pulled over for, you know, having a glass or two of beer out with dinner. That, you know, sure, you may have gotten pulled over, but, you know, had not, you know, it could have resulted in, yes, gone lives really taken or, you know, lifelong injuries. So, you know, working together with all of the key players is very important. And certainly we, yes, we have been around for quite a number of years, almost 40, I believe, as of next year. So certainly working towards promoting the awareness of the dangers and the consequences that can come along with it, even if you hadn't been, you've just been pulled over before.
Right. Folks that want to learn more about this organization here in Connecticut can cut to the chase by going to mad.org/CT.
Correct.
For localized information. In the last 3 or 4 minutes that we have with you, Jennifer Rossi, let's talk about these great events, including the one that you are coordinating, that is Walk Like Mad, coming up in Fairfield on September 14th and Brantford on October 5th. Give folks the kind of the basic details of those and where they need to go, what they need to do to get involved.
Sure. So they are both 5K events. So that's 3 miles. Fairfield is right in the center. We start at the Fairfield Theater Company and go down to the water and back. Brantford's is in the town green, goes down to Brantford Point and back as well. And it's a great family event. We have a lot of community support, a lot of business and corporate support. And, you know, it's not meant to be, you know, like a Debbie Downer event. You know, the families are there to support each other. Each walk we do dedicate to someone. So in Fairfield, we're dedicating it to a young man, Vinny Pizzella, who was killed. In Branford, we are dedicating it to Diane Di Benedetto, who was also killed. And their families are both heavily involved. We, you know, pay tribute to them in different little special ways. You know, we have kids area. We have, you know, lots of food. You know, we have different activities for the kids. You know, different sponsors come out. And it's a great radio stations, DJs, you know, and it's a great event to kind of get everyone involved.
And when you go to these races and you know, maybe you're a relatively new runner and, you know, you're still working the, you know, working your way up to the 5K. You know, personal best kind of mile thing. You meet these people, and it really kind of helps inject a little bit more energy because you know who the end recipients are, and you know why you're doing it when you meet the people who have been affected. We just got a minute or two to talk about the golf tournament.
Sure. So the golf tournament is on September 24th, and it's at the Farms Country Club in Wallingford. This we've been doing this location for the past few years. I believe max number of golfers is about 150, maybe give or take a few less. You know, great time. You'll get breakfast, you get lunch, you get dinner. We have surprise golfer gifts and participant thank yous. Obviously, there's team awards and all the golf awards that go along with it. And it's a long day. But it's a great event, especially to see, you know, the different participants from the different walks of life, the different golfers from all angles. And, you know, it's great.
And speaking of surprise guests, you've got one coming, and that's why we need people to know. They need to go to mad.org/CT or follow Connecticut Mothers Against Drunk Driving on social networks to be the first to hear of this special country superstar that's coming into Mohegan Sun to raise awareness of and benefit Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Any additional information you can give up on that, Jennifer?
Not really. Okay. But it is our 11th year. We've had some great stars in the past. Last year was Maren Morris. We've had Dan and Shay. And a whole bunch of others. And it's really a great event throughout the entire casino. This year we'll be working kind of giving awareness to the employees as well throughout that whole week. So kind of making it a week-long event.
Excellent. Mothers Against Drunk Driving, their mission is to end drunk and drug driving, to fight drug driving, support victims of these violent crimes, and prevent underage drinking. So much more to learn about this. If you are a community leader, you have a club, a school, a scout troop, Mothers Against Drunk Driving can help you learn more to educate your constituencies about the services they offer, the great work they do, and the consequences of the actions of folks who unfortunately do not, as Jennifer Rossi so diplomatically put it, make a plan when they party. We hope you'll visit this organization, MADD.org/CT to learn more. Jennifer Rossi, the lead victims services specialist for Mothers Against Drunk Driving Connecticut, with us this morning. Come on out for their Walk Like Mad events in Fairfield on September 14th and Branford on October 5th, the golf tournament on September 24th, and stay tuned to all of Mad's online and social media to learn about their big Mohegan Sun Country Western event coming up. You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.